Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
NBC has their fingers crossed for some really big ratings tomorrow night when Tom Brady returns to New England. Shamari Block with me, Whitey Gleason on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, can you imagine, Shamari? A lot of people going to be watching that game tomorrow night. Can you imagine if
I'm going to be watching that game tomorrow night, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you're
TV,
like,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're doing like a radio show at that time. I mean, no one's going to be listening to you at that time.
Son of a gun. I am doing a radio show during that time. I stand corrected. I will not.
You can still watch.
I can still. Is it going to be right? I'm going to be sitting here. I'm going to be like, yeah, man. So you know what? Oh, my God. Did you see that? That'll be great radio. Oh, yeah. I just realized. Yeah, I am on air. It's me and you, right?
Yes,
it's me and you.
Exactly.
It's me and you. Yes. After Bonte and Butcher. Oh my God. That's gonna be so. Oh, it's gonna be so insane. Like, let's just be real, okay? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a far better football team right now, as currently constructed.
Yes.
Than the New England Patriots, right? So there really isn't any drama. It's probably going to be like just total devastation of the Pats, right? But that storyline, right? It's like, oh, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady's making his return. Like, oh, high drama, the highest of drama, man, at the highest of order.
Yeah, what's going to happen is the Patriots are going to get destroyed and Belichick's going to get so frustrated he's going to throw in a helmet and play linebacker in the fourth quarter. I'll show you. That's not how you do it.
And then, I don't know. I say Adam Vinatieri comes out of the stands to kick the game winner for the Pats, man. And a guy drives a snowplow across the 30-yard line, even though there's not a drop of snow on the field.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be fun to see. And isn't Brady on the verge of breaking the all-time passing yardage record or something?
Yeah, I think he's going to pass Drew Brees up. It's very likely if he continues averaging like 300 a game or something like that.
Yeah, all he needs is 186 in this game.
Exactly.
So he'll hit it by like halftime.
Thank you, Craig, the Tampa Bay fan. I should have known Craig would know that. Well, they're hoping NBC is, as I said, for some non-playoff ratings records here. The best ratings for a non-playoff game, December 2nd, 1985, that was the previously unbeaten Bears, and they lost to the Dolphins Monday Night Football. 41 million people watched. That was 1985. 1990, Giants and 49ers, late season Monday Night game. That ended up being a preview of the NFC Championship game. Oh, boy. That drew, 39 million. So we'll see. Patriots and Giants 2007, week 17, 2007. You may remember the Patriots were trying to finish off a perfect season, 34.5 million viewers on average. So we'll see what kind of numbers Brady and the Patriots pull. I think you're right, Shamari. It's probably going to be one-sided, so I don't think a lot of people are necessarily going to stick around for the whole game.
Definitely not. But everyone's going to tune in because they sold it, man. And the NFL, if the NFL knows how to do one thing, they know how to market the hell out of things, man. And this is not going to be a good – this is not going to be an entertaining game. unless you're like a big time Brady fan and you want to be like na 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 to Belichick, right? Honestly, I think there are a whole bunch of Pats fans out there that still like side with Brady, even though he's no longer Pat, over Belichick and Bob Kraft and company, because they you let our goat go, right? Is that a good Boston accent? It's like, hey, you let our goat go. It's horrible.
That's not, but
it's kind of cockney. It sounded cockney a little bit, right? I don't know where I'm going here, man, but you know, it's the people from Boston, right? I think there are some people in New England and in the Boston and in the Massachusetts area that are going to be rooting for the Bucks.
It's so incredible because I can remember 2014, the A's played against the Royals in that wild card game when John Lester pitched. That was after the A's. They were having a great season. Then they traded away Cespedes. They got John Lester, and they lost the wild card game to the Royals, who, of course, went to the World Series against the Giants. But the A's lost that wild card game the day after the Patriots lost a game to the Chiefs, and everybody in New England, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's too bad. It's okay, Tom. You've done great things for us. And a lot of people at that time thought, well, this is the end of our time with Tom Brady and the Patriots' greatness, but that's okay because he was really good. That was 2014. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And still, yeah, it's just unbelievable. And, of course, we got some really interesting tidbits that came out this week. I know we've touched on this already. I believe it was the Seth Wickersham book on the Patriots and Brady and how he wanted to come here. Did you also see, Shamari, another little nugget that emerged from those reports was that the 49ers, even before the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, they weren't thrilled with Jimmy's preparation. And Kyle was asked about that this week, and he pushed back on it and said, no, that's ridiculous. But that was very interesting. Again, it gets to just some of the reasons why the 49ers ultimately have been, and specifically Kyle Shanahan, has been not completely satisfied with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, more to that point, though, right? How much credibility does Kyle Shanahan have with you in terms of saying the real, man, and keeping it real? I don't think Kyle Shanahan keeps it real, man, because over the last couple of seasons, he's always said, oh, hey, we're happy with Jimmy. Jimmy's whatever. But every time any quarterback's name comes up, Kyle Shanahan's name comes up being, you know, associated with that. So he's been unhappy with Jimmy, but he's consistently said, oh, no, Jimmy's our guy for now. And he always throws something slick in there. Like right now, Jimmy Garoppolo's our quarterback, man. But Kyle Shanahan has almost zero credibility with me, man, especially given over the last few weeks in particular, man. Like he got all ticked off at Grant Cohn for saying, hey, you know, what about the quarterback situation? He's like, I think I've been pretty clear. No, you haven't. Because your mouth says one thing, but your actions say a completely
what
different thing.
What is he supposed to say, Shamari? What's he supposed to say? Is he supposed to say, I don't really like Jimmy, but he's the best we can do for now? No!
Well, but that's,
so what is
but
he supposed to
truth.
Say?
But that's the yeah, truth.
I mean, you can't say that. If you're the coach, you can't say,
but he
you
feels
know.
That way inside, and that's what just makes it so annoying, man. Because then you get into, because then if he answers that question, then we can say, like, listen, I know you probably wanted Trey Lance to be the quarterback sooner rather than later when you drafted him. That's not happening right now. What's going on, man? You know, what's up? And then he can say, Trey Lance, he's not exactly ready yet. We're evaluating it day by day, and go on to his boring Kyle Shanahan talk. But just there's coach speak, right? There's coach speak where you don't say anything, right? But he just outright denies things that everybody who's paying attention knows are true.
I don't know. I think he's handled an awkward situation fairly well, and he says stuff about Jimmy, and he says we can win with Jimmy. True. We know we can win with Jimmy. It's true. Right? And then he says, what's he supposed to say? You know, Jimmy's on his way out. So he says, yeah, there's no competition now because he's leaving the door open. That's the truth. You can't expect the coach to say, hey, we're trying to get rid of Jimmy as soon as we can.
But
that doesn't help make anything better for your football team.
Here's the thing about this awkward situation that you just described. He caused this awkward situation. Like, you didn't have to have an awkward situation. You could have not drafted Jimmy's replacement while I was still here, or you could have let Jimmy go when you drafted his replacement. But now you got a lame duck quarterback and you got a rookie quarterback that everybody wants to see, and it's all you're doing. Like, you did this.
But again, you've got a quarterback you know you can win with, that you're not hitched to for the future. He's here. You've got a young quarterback you like a lot who's not ready. So this gives you your best chance to win right now. I know earlier, a few weeks ago, you said something about, and I love him too, Teddy Bridgewater, who's off to a fine start. Of course, he got off to a good start last year. But you said, why not get rid of Garoppolo and bring in Teddy Bridgewater? Because Garoppolo knows the system. And you've got a guy you're keeping for now who knows how you do everything. And you don't want to bring in somebody like Teddy Bridgewater to be a bridge to Trey Lance when you, he has to learn your system. So I still think, yeah, is it a little awkward? I think it's going to get more awkward, right? Because at some point, there's going to be a switch at some point. So for now, if they're winning, it's not ideal, but I think it's working. By the way, on the text line here, this is wrong. From the 510, Whitey is more outraged about the Super Bowl halftime performers not being old rock stars. That's, I am not outraged by that. I applaud that. Because I remember when The Who did halftime in New Orleans, and it was like, oh, my goodness, get them off the stage. So,
you know the funny thing about the Super Bowl halftime? And I was just talking to my brother this the other day, right? Like, that Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Mary J. Blige are middle-aged people music. Like, they're not edgy young dudes. Like, these dudes are in their 50s, in their late 50s right now. Mm-hmm. This is a middle-aged person's dream show, man. It just so happens that middle-aged people grew up with Snoop and Dre. And Whitey, by the way, 5-0, Whitey Gleason is from Vallejo, California, the home of Mac Dre and E-40, okay? Whitey is down.
Thank you. 888-957-9570. Bill in Walnut Creek, 95.7 The Game. What's up, Bill?
Yes, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to talk about two things. First of all, why did Shanahan and Lynch go to North Dakota State to select Trey Lance? First of all, when they talked to the coaches at North Dakota State, both the head coach and the quarterback coach, they determined two things. One, I believe Trey Lance had close to a 4.0 grade point average in college. He's a smart young man. They looked at Trey Lance and saw that he has the physical characteristics to be a pro-style quarterback. He's got the size, the speed, the feet, the arm. Just as important, he's got the mental capacity to internalize a complicated offense. North Dakota State ran a pro-style offense very similar to Shanahan's offense. In talking with the quarterback coach, which I believe is a very, very fine quarterback coach, they determined that Trey Lance has not only the physical characteristics athletically, but he's got the mental characteristics to internalize a complicated offense. Just as important, they determined that he has the mental capacity to understand the defense that is going up against him. Now, granted, the defenses that were going up against him in North Dakota State is not a pro-style defense. And I think this is the characteristic that shows that Shanahan is a little hesitant to put Trey Lance in. When Lance has the ability to determine when he approaches that line of scrimmage, the defense that he's going to go up against with his offense, and internalize that defense and be able to perform the offense that is very complicated, then I think that Trey Lance will become partially a quarterback that will get into some of the games.
All right, Bill. Bill in Walnut Creek. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Some fine points there, and it gets us back, Shamari, to what you were saying, I think, before the break, as we look for possible reasons why Trey Lance hasn't played more. To me, it's pretty apparent that they just don't feel he's ready. But you brought up something, potentially, Shamari, about the locker room, and what are you thinking there? Again, in terms of potential reasons why we haven't seen more of Trey Lance than we have to this point.
I mean, it makes more sense to me when you watch Jimmy Garoppolo on a football field doing football things. He just kind of it's underwhelming. It really, really is. And not to say that anybody, Whitey, could do it. I couldn't get out there and do it. And there's probably 40 quarterbacks in the NFL that couldn't. But there's at least 20 that could, right? And I feel that Trey Lance is one of them, at least based on what we've seen, at least physically. And I don't know that he's that. I don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is just sitting there reading defenses, going to his fourth and fifth read either, right? I think Jimmy Garoppolo, 90% of the time, is a one-read guy. He reads one, maybe two reads, and he's getting rid of the ball, man. It's not like he's sitting back there reading the whole field. So,
well, first of all, that's a cheap shot, because I know you're talking about when I played Pop Warner and there was 26 seconds to go and we're down six and I locked on to Kevin Trapp and Dennis Patrick intercepted me because I just only stared down my receiver the whole time. So that's a cheap shot. I don't appreciate that. It's hard. Shamari, it's hard to look off a receiver, look for another receiver, especially when you had the lack of protection that I was played with as a member of the Vallejo Vikings. But
the Vallejo Vikings.
Continue.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. We were the Renegades for one season. We were the Steelers for a season before that. And then the Generals became long after I played.
You know what was cool,
Shamari? I was playing high school by then, huh? What's up?
Yeah. Well, if you played well, you know, we were the Vikings and we had like white helmets with blue tape. But if you played well, there were two actual Minnesota Viking helmets. And if you played well, you got to wear one of those the next game. And I think.
Ooh.
I know once, maybe twice, I got to wear the real Viking helmet. Ooh, that was pretty cool, Shamari.
And when I went to Hogan High, we had the black stripe down the helmet. Like if you played a good game, you got to put a black stripe down the middle of your blue helmet with your numbers on the side of it. That was the thing, man. You got to earn your stripes, right? You had to literally earn your stripe, man. And
at Corbis
it's 10 games.
Field, right?
Yeah.
Out there at Corbis Field.
At good old Corbis Field, man. home of – you know what the lame thing was? You go there, you pull up to a game, and not only is it at your rival's campus, right? Not only do you play your home games at your rival's campus, but their name is on top of ours. That was always just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. No, but back to the point, though, of Jimmy G. It makes more sense to me when I really think about it, because Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know that he does anything spectacular. What he does is difficult. It is. And very few people can do it, but enough people can do it that I feel like Trey Lance, if he's worth his weight in salt, can do it. It's more of a thing of selling the locker room on the idea that we're gonna start over, because there's even though you got guys like Debo, I know I literally saw on Debo's Instagram or Trey Lance, one of their Instagram, like these dudes, Debo and Ayuk and Trey Lance, man, they partners, they're going out, they're kicking it, they're doing things, right? But then you got your Trent Williamses of the world, you got your Fred Warners, and you've heard, one of the things I've heard over and over again is that Jimmy Garoppolo has always been extremely popular in the locker room. So walking off from Jimmy Garoppolo, man, I feel might hurt morale, and that's why Jimmy Garoppolo actually gives you the best chance to win, because I just can't believe it's solely based on the things he does on a football field, which are difficult, and I couldn't do it. But, you know, Kirk Cousins could, and Teddy Bridgewater could, and Justin Herbert could, and there's like at least 20 other guys in the NFL. And I'm not even getting to the Dak Prescotts and those kind of guys. I'm
Dak
just saying,
is on
like you're
fire. Dak is playing great, by the way.
Dak is that offense is stacked though. It's like is Amari Cooper your third best receiver when everybody's
so
healthy?
Accurate.
Yeah.
Dak
yeah.
is on point though with his passes. All right, I get your point. But to me the tell is and I didn't mean to cut you off there. But the tell is this. Shanahan, again, and we touched on this. Shanahan, you know, is very highly motivated to play Trey Lance if he's going to play well, because that just reflects well on him. This is the guy I went out and got. This is the guy we went out and got. We gave up all this draft capital for this guy. So if they really thought that Trey would help them on the field, they would play him. And as far as the locker room, I know according to reports from camp, when Trey Lance did do something spectacular, I mean, everybody on the sidelines was just watching him, and they were very excited by what he was doing. But if he plays and you win the locker room over like that. Nobody can argue with, hey, we're winning, because that's what it's all about at the professional level, right? So I really think if Kyle had any reason to think that Trey would improve their chances to win, no matter what the locker room felt about that, he would be playing more. The fact that he's hardly playing at all tells me that clearly they feel he's not ready. They want him to be ready. They are looking for reasons to play him, not reasons not to play him. And there aren't enough reasons to play him right now. And especially considering if they win tomorrow, you're off to a 3-1 start. That's a very good start.
Right. And by virtue of the fact that either the Rams or the Cardinals are gonna they're gonna cancel each other out, right? That puts you in second place. That puts you in a tie with second place in your own division, though, with the Rams and mm-hmm. or well, with the Rams or the Cardinals, and you're looking up. You're looking up, though. You're definitely looking up at the Rams and the Cardinals, and you know what? You can't look down on the Seahawks either. Like, the Seahawks have a worse record, but I don't think you can look down on the Seahawks, man.
They're
division,
done. Seahawks are toast. Seahawks. I've been saying it for 2 years now. I've been wrong to this point. Seahawks are toast. Their defense is porous, and in the second half, their offense totally ineffective. This thing's they're done. This game's over already. 49ers clean up tomorrow.
Russell Wilson, man. That's all I have to say. And I say Russell Wilson, Whitey, through like slightly clenched, angry teeth. Because when I think about Russell Wilson, I think about, you know, last second wizardry and running and making plays and winning games that he shouldn't. It's one of those people that you're like, I hate that guy. It's like, I hate you. Wait, oh, you remember you know the Anchorman? Remember Anchorman when, what's the guy? He said, I hate you, Ron Burgundy, but God damn it, I respect you. That's how I feel about Russell Wilson.
Earlier this year, though, when they were playing, what was their second game of the year? They're home with a big lead in the fourth quarter against Tennessee, and they lost. I mean, that's a very un-Seahawk-like thing to do. They blew a home lead against Tennessee. Their defense was bad last year. They turned it around when they got Dunlap. Their defense has been bad this year. I just feel, though, that the 49ers are not in, obviously, the best position to take advantage of that. The lack of the running game is really hurting them, and it's really putting a challenge to Kyle Shanahan to, all right, how are you going to figure this out? So it'll be very interesting to see how they deal with that. Because I think to a degree, we saw Green Bay last week. Like, yeah, if you can't run the ball, you can't establish anything off us. And I know the 49ers rallied late, but that's one of the reasons. I think it's the main reason why the 49ers continue to get off to awful starts offensively. They can't run the ball, and everything they do is based on that.
Well, but you could also pass to set up the run. And if you get a couple of good deep, you take a couple of shots down the field, and those safeties they come off they get outside the box. Those linebackers, that first step is backwards instead of downhill, and then you can get some space to run. And in order to do that, in order to pass to set up the run, you got to have a quarterback who is threatening. The quarterback, and that's the thing when you talk about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson threatens you. You feel threatened when Russell Wilson has the ball in his hand.
He's a great deep ball thrower, no question. He's a great deep ball thrower, and Jimmy is not. You're right.
Well, when Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think anyone's ever game planned to stop Jimmy Garoppolo in his entire career. Like, I just don't think that's ever happened. Like, it's like, we got to stop Bolster to the run game. We got to shut down the receivers. You don't game plan for Jimmy Garoppolo, man, but you do game plan for Russell Wilson, and if you had a quarterback that you game planned to stop, I feel that this offense is even with the injuries at running back, even with the issues with on the offensive line, I still
Shamari,
feel, yeah. What's happening?
By the way, as you're speaking of injuries, don't forget there may be no George Kittle tomorrow as well.
Ooh, well, that is impactful more in the running game than it is in the passing game, man. Yeah, because Kittle is—he's that guy, man. He blocks defensive ends. He blocks linebackers. He's not Travis Kelce out there in this basically a giant slot receiver, man. He is an integral part of the run game, and that's even uglier. That is, I forgot about that. No, I remember reading that headline, and again, I think I blacked it out. I was like, George Kittle's going to be fine. I just saw him in the Venom commercial, Let There Be Carnage. He's fine. He's fine. And then you just reminded me of something awful, Whitey. Goodness gracious.
Sorry. Yeah, I guess he could play, but I guess they were a little concerned that he was struggling as much as he was.
George Kittle is going to say he can play because he's George Kittle, man. He's one of the all-time bad dudes, man, in football history, and he's going to want to play, and he's going to go out there and play hard. Some people you have to protect from themselves. George Kittle's one of those guys.
Is there any way you look at all the injuries last year and this year, is there any way you can link that to Shanahan and Lynch? I know in the past they've drafted guys with injury histories, and I think they've said, look, it's football. People get hurt. And I know that. And for the most part, I've just been saying and assuming it just must be bad luck. But it just, I mean, it seems like the math would suggest it has to be more than bad luck that they continue year after year now to be plagued by so many borderline catastrophic injuries. So what's going on, Shamari?
Think about it, though. Let's think about the guys that are hurt this year. Jason Verrett. Like, should we be surprised, given his history, that Jason Verrett? Raheem Mostert, should we be surprised? Now, the fact that he's for the season, that's shocking. But but should we be surprised that Raheem Mostert missed a significant amount of time? Because he even in the Super Bowl season, he missed a pretty good amount of games, right? So it's not that they paid Verrett. They paid Verrett $6.5 million to play this season. They paid Mosley about $3.5 million, right? There were guys out there on the market. Patrick Peterson was out there. He got $10 million, but Patrick Peterson was out there. And I know Patrick Peterson's not what he used to be, blah, 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 man. I take Patrick Peterson right now. I take him right now over, you know, D'Amador Lemore, the rookie fifth-round pick, man, that you know. Hey, rookie fifth-round pick, go out here and cover Davante Adams in a critical situation. They set themselves up. They put themselves in that position. I firmly believe this, and it's a consistent philosophy, I feel, from the guys they draft to the guys they sign free agency to the free agents that they retain. They don't seem to put a lot of stock in, you know, oh, this guy's gonna play 16 games, and I feel you have to blame them, right?
I think we have to at least ask the question. I can't really draw that link definitively yet, but the more you look at it, the more it begs the question, what's going on here? Elevate Your Tailgate, no question. It's back this season featuring the Morning Roast's Joe Shasky. In the debut episode, it's Joe and Bonte Hill. You can check out this episode on 95.7thegame.com and on the 95.7 The Game social channels. So Elevate Your Tailgate with Charles Woodson's Intercept Wines. Look for it at your local retailer, and then look at it, and better yet, drink it, or visit interceptwines.com and have it delivered to your door. Coming up, three reasons Kyle's genius reputation hangs in the balance, and at some point, we got to get to Draymond and why he says the Warriors' approach won't work. Coming up here with Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
So we're keeping our eyes on 3rd and King. Potential party brewing there. We'll see. A ways to go. Of course, we've got the 49ers playing the Seahawks tomorrow. And then you know who plays Monday, right, Shamari?
Oh, yeah. The
Dubs. The Warriors. The
Preseason
Warriors.
Basketball. It's time. It's time.
Yeah.
No more speculation, right? The beauty of when the season starts, right? We spend, especially here doing what we do, right? We spend the whole offseason debating this thing, that thing, and now it's go time. And yes, it's just the preseason, but I feel like early on in the preseason, there's some things that we're going to be able to see. You know, we're going to get an idea of what this team could be early in the preseason by watching the young guys. And not just the rookies, man. The Jordan Pools of the world, the Michael Mulders, man. Maybe even the Gary Payton too. Is he? Wait, did they bring him in, or they're still haven't signed him yet?
Well, we don't know if he's going to be what they're going to do with the 15th spot. Could be him. We don't know yet if he's going to be the guy. Could be Avery Bradley. Yeah, we're not sure who the 15th guy on the roster is going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the 15th guy on the roster comes into play, something's gone horribly wrong anyway. Right, like it's about Steph and Clay later Clay, right? Steph, Draymond, Wiseman later, Kuminga. I think I don't know what to expect out of Kuminga, right? I don't know. I
it's kind of like the Trey Lance. It's similar, not the same, but similar to the Trey Lance situation. By the way, it's Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block here on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, as far as Kuminga goes, we're not sure how far along he is.
I think he's going to surprise some people. Not like he's going to play 30 minutes a game, right? But I think Kuminga's going to get some serious run, man. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Summer League, oh my God, that guy, man. Just like that beastly Giannis style of just, I'm big, I'm strong, I'm athletic, and I'm going to put this ball in the basket.
Yeah, the thing with him is he may be better served, and maybe not, but he may be better served going to the G League early on and playing more than he would be staying with the big club, you know, and being at the end of the bench early in the year. So we'll see. Again, I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm not
he's a rookie. Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to realize, they have to figure out what's going to help him more, what's going to be more beneficial to him, just to play somewhere in the G League, because they really obviously like him, to the point that I believe Joe Lacob completely when he says, you know, Ben Simmons, you know, the things that he said that he got fined for tampering, he's like, yeah, he's not a good fit. Ben Simmons, by the way, in the news today, the Sixers, let's see, they are withholding so far $8.25 million owed to Ben Simmons amid his holdout. So the Sixers did not pay the $8.25 million, 25% of his contract that he was owed Friday, placed that money into an escrow account. And moving forward, the Sixers, according to ESPN, they will deduct from the account any fines that Simmons accrues as the season progresses. If or when he shows up, he'll be given the money that is remaining in it, sources told ESPN. So the Sixers getting ready to play a little hardball if they need to. That thing is done, but I still would be surprised if it's resolved quickly, because I think it's in the Sixers' best interest to hold on rather than to get rid of him for pennies on the dollar, which is hard to do given the contracts that you have in the NBA anyway.
But when you hear Doc Rivers and you hear about, Joel Embiid and his teammates were going to jump on a plane and go to L.A. to try to – do you think they really want Ben Simmons in Detroit? Do you think, like, the team, Doc Rivers' front office, and even his teammates, man, do you think they really want him, or is this just well, we don't want to hurt his trade value?
Probably a little bit of all of that. They feel like, look, let's get this resolved. Let's bring him in, then we can trade him. Or if we can figure it out, great. I think, you know, this is a team that had a really good year last year. It ended badly. So they don't want this hanging over their heads, right? Again, it's pro sports. We play to win the game. So maybe it's not all out of, oh boy, we sure want Ben to be happy. But they realize, let's get this thing fixed. Let's talk to him. Let's resolve it. And then they can get on with things and maximize their chances to get as far as they can get in the playoffs this year.
But I get being caught up in the heat of the moment, right? I get that. In the heat of the moment, you might say or do anything. But Doc Rivers saying immediately after their playoff exit, they were like, well, hey, you know, is Ben Simmons going to be part of this team? It's like, well, I don't know, you know, like saying that. Then to going back now and saying, like, you know, revisionist history, I've always wanted Ben Simmons. He's a factor here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying, so Ben Simmons doing what he's doing is stupid. It just is. It's stupid. $8 million, man. Are you serious? Are you serious? Go get your $8 million, brother. What are you doing, right? But also, if I could get a person doing what he's doing if you don't feel wanted and you feel all of the things that people are saying, and that, oh, Ben, come home. If you feel that's disingenuous, right? You know, that I get him doing I could get him doing what he's doing, given his feeling. And I also feel that he's right, or has a right. He's not crazy to feel that, you know, that this is all just a show, dog and pony show.
I agree with you 100% about Doc. And I think I may have mentioned this before with you. I'm a Doc fan, and it gets harder and harder to be a Doc fan when I'm with you. Joel Embiid said some things, you know, after that loss where he said, I'll be honest with you, the game changed there when he passed up the dunk. And all right, he probably shouldn't have said that, but he's a player. But for Doc Rivers, who's essentially part of management, to say when asked, hey, can he be a starting point guard on a playoff team, to say, I don't know the answer. It's like, oh my goodness, you just have to be smarter than that. I understand the frustration.
You're right.
I understand also part of it is, hey, it's not my fault. You saw what he did, but you have to be smarter than that. And then to walk it back the way he has is, no, 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 that's not what I said. What I was saying was, I don't want to talk about it right now. It's like, that's not close to what you said.
Right, yeah.
It's really, really unfortunate. But I don't know ultimately if it would have made the situation any better, but it certainly didn't help. And if you were Ben Simmons, and I think ultimately I agree with you, is like, he's handling it poorly.
Yeah, get your money, right? Yeah.
What should he do? What do you think he should do?
He need to go get that $8 million, I'll tell you that much, and figure the rest of it out, man. That is a lot of bread, man, to just sit, you know, I'm just going to sit here and keep your $8 million. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's nice. I guess it's nice. Because if it was
can't
eight,
you see, though?
If yeah, it was $8.50, man, I'm coming to get it, okay? That's just me. That's just me.
if you're Ben Simmons and you see that, okay, we lost and I wasn't great and neither the team's best player nor the coach, nobody had my back. They threw me under the bus. Why should I want to stay here? I mean, on some level, I think it's understandable, isn't it? Because he got no support. Well, and yeah, he was the reason why they lost. He was terrible. But he got no support when he really needed it.
But more than that, Whitey, more than that, all of these attempts and all these pleas, if I'm Ben Simmons, me just watching as a casual observer, I'm like, they're full of it. They're full of it. They're full of it because it wasn't just Ben Simmons. It wasn't just Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid. A day or two after they got eliminated from the playoffs, like there were rumors that Ben Simmons is on the trade block, that, you know, they're shopping Ben Simmons around. So, no, they haven't showed him any amount of we're into this at all. And Ben Simmons is right to be like, F you guys. That said, Martha Vallejo, my mama she always told me, don't cut off your nose in spite to spite your face. And that is the only thing about this. He's completely right to feel the way he feels. Like, thrown under the bus, not wanted, just dissed on every level. Rightfully so. Beyond the Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid thing, like, I remember hearing reports, oh, Ben Simmons doesn't work on his free throws. He doesn't work on his jump shooting. Who do you think leaked that? Yeah. That didn't come out of nowhere. Like, the organization has gave it, and honestly, I rightfully so also, man. I wouldn't want that guy. I wouldn't want him either, right? But that said, the organization dissed him. Then they're trying to make it seem like, oh, no, we wanted him all along. And that if you're a man of principles, which apparently Ben Simmons is, man, I don't know that many people who's principled enough to just give away $8 million, but Ben Simmons apparently is one of those people. So if he's that principle, man, I say stick to your guns. I really, really do. I wouldn't. I'd sell out. Yeah.
One more point on Simmons and the Warriors. I know we've done that to death, but I thought it was interesting this week. Steve Kerr was talking about how they're going to play smaller this year, and he slipped something in. He wasn't talking about Simmons, but I think it's more evidence that the Warriors really are not interested in Ben Simmons. Steve Kerr said something along the lines of, I can track down the actual quote, but the essence of it was, you really are in trouble now. You can't get away with having two guys who are not offensive threats on the floor at the same time. And so, again, he was talking about going small. But that's, you know, Simmons and Draymond. So they really, you know, and we know that Joe Lacob said, you know, that's not a good fit. I really think that's how the Warriors feel. Some of it could be posturing, but I don't think they want Ben Simmons. So I don't know that he would be coming here even if they did. But Ben Simmons is not a guy the Warriors are interested in right now. End of story, Shamari.
And he shouldn't be. He should not be. And I don't think he's a – I don't really think that there's too many teams – that look at Ben Simmons and say, oh, this is the guy that'll get us over the top, right? Think about the contending teams, right? Think about Utah, right? Think about the Phoenix. Think about the Brooklyn Nets. I don't really, and then you look at that second tier teams, and I don't really know that, I can't really see him playing with Jokic really well, and him and Jokic matched it. I don't know that there is a place for Ben Simmons to go. I don't.
Like, I know
at least not that you're going to get a significant amount of return. Like, if you trade Ben Simmons, if you're Philadelphia, if you trade Ben Simmons, you're getting pennies on the dollar because he's not that big of an asset to most teams. And honestly, I'm so glad Joe Lacob tampered and spent $50 million so I don't have to hear about Ben Simmons being a good fit with the Warriors anymore. Because, boom, straight from the horse's mouth, not a good fit. Thank you.
Wait, it was only $50,000. Well, it wasn't.
I'm sorry. Well, $50 million. I'm glad he paid it. $50 million. I'm glad he paid $50,000, man, to just so that storyline can end. Because Ben Simmons has never made sense for the Warriors.
Yeah,
at all.
As deep as they are into the luxury tax, if it was $50 million, he'd be saying, hey, wait a minute, I wasn't tampering. No.
Yeah. That's still couch cushion money for Lake. Come on.
I guess so. I think Philly, if they had their druthers, they would still hope that Bradley Beal became available or Damian Lillard. And if not, if it's not a star of that caliber, I think they're probably thinking our best bet is to try to get him in and resolve it and hope that eventually he gets over his feelings. I don't know how likely that is, but I think that's still their smartest play long-term. We'll see where it goes. That, again, is if they can't get someone like Dame Lillard for him, and that seems unlikely, too.
Right. No, nobody wants Ben Simmons. Nobody, including Philly.
This was really interesting to me. We know that before the draft, it was reported, and I have no reason to believe it wasn't true, and I think we have confirmation that it was, that you had Clay and Steph and Draymond, and they went to the front office and ownership and said, we want veteran players. We don't want young players. We don't want to go through that like we had last year. So what happened? They drafted young players, and they did sign a few vets, but they didn't trade those draft picks for veterans. So Draymond this week, and he had an excused absence, and then he came in, and he was asked about all that, and he said, hey, what can I do? This is what we're doing. Let me see. I have the quote right here. Pardon me. That's the plan, regardless of what I may think about it or what anyone may think about it. That's the route we're taking. But he says, quote, historically, we have not seen that work where you have a mix of old. Well, I wouldn't say any of us are old. Andre is old as bleep, actually. But a mixture of experience and hardly any experience historically in just being a fan of the NBA. I can't recall the last time I've seen someone have success with that. End quote. That's our situation.
Gee, that's funny. That's funny. Here's the thing, though, Whitey. You know what's so funny about that to me is that let's go back to 2016. That was a pretty good mix of young and old, wouldn't you say? You had young Steph Curry, you had an even younger Draymond, and a slightly less young Klay Thompson, and then you had guys like Iguodala. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a pretty good mix of young and old. Wouldn't you say that? I think that worked out, man. Draymond Green. First things first, because before we get away from the Ben Simmons thing, Luati, I want to get to my guy Leroy in Oakland. He says Ben Simmons makes a lot of sense. I don't think that's the case. But let's hear my guy Leroy. Leroy, what's up with you, brother?
Hello, Leroy.
Hey, what's up, guys? It is a pleasure to be on. Hey, I'll be real quick. I think that Ben Simmons makes a lot of sense for the Warriors in this sense that, you know, Draymond, Clay, and Curry, they're getting up there in years. And, you know, I thought about it, and at first it didn't make sense. And then I said, you know what? They're getting older, and I would love a young guy like Ben Simmons to come in and, you know, take over the reins, you know, after these guys are gone. And, of course, while they're here, I think he makes perfect sense because he's not a scoring person. We always go, hey, the Warriors don't need, you know, scorers. They need people that can fit in with Curry and that can fit around Curry. Well, here's a guy that, under the right tutelage, which I think – you know, this coaching staff and this organization, hey, they can provide that. This guy can get you 16, 17 assists in his sleep. Boy, isn't this what we need? A 6'9", 6'8 guard running down the court like Magic Johnson, dishing passes to Curry and Clay, and then whoever comes after that, an all-star that wasn't an all-star for his scoring, but was an all-star for the other things that he did. And I just think it's fit. And I think once he comes here and gets under this brotherhood, man, this guy can be another all-star. So I say bring him in.
Thank you, Leroy. Yeah, where the comparison to Magic breaks down, of course, is, you know, Magic could make a free throw. He's not Barry or anything, but he could make free throws. Yeah. I think Draymond agrees with you, and I think the front office feels like, no, he just doesn't shoot well enough, and then he's broken right now. So I, you know, maybe come deadline time, maybe by then things will change to the point where maybe it's back in play. But for, I don't know, Shamari, not just my opinion, but just trying to read where the Warriors are, I just don't think they have any real interest in Simmons.
Well, but it's not, you, of course, you would, Ben Simmons is an all-star, okay? Like my man Leroy in Oakland pointed out, Ben Simmons is an all-star. Ben Simmons is a really, really, really good NBA player. It comes down to a matter of price. It comes down to a matter of price, and if you give up Wiggins and you give up Wiseman and Kuminga, right, to get Ben Simmons, are you actually, how much better are you actually really? Does that take you from a fourth seed to a one seed? No. It might not even take you from a fourth seed to a third seed. So I don't. It comes down to price. If they want to just hand Ben Simmons over, and you know, and all you got to do is pay him, great. But I don't think you should give up anything except for me. I might consider a head up trade for Wiggins. I even might consider a head up trade for Draymond, just because Draymond's getting on my nerves these days, right? But you know, I don't know that you give up a Draymond or a Wiggins and a young guy, right? That no way. Not for him.
And I don't think that's what Philly would have any interest in. And again, we'll see down the road. Here's my issue with Draymond, by the way. You know, Draymond made news in the offseason when he had the podcast with Durant, and they talked again about the issue they had when they played the Clippers, and they yelled at each other.
Yeah.
And then they both said, oh, it was the front office. It was Bob Myers' fault. His fault. They screwed it up. And Steve Kerr, they screwed it up, not us. So then he gets asked about that when he's, you know, back this week after his excused absence. And again, he tries to play like, whoa, what's the big deal? And I just, you can't have it both ways where you, all right, we got to talk about that again. So if you bring it up, right, yeah, Draymond, yeah, if you're going to bring it up, and then reporters or whomever are going to say, wow, what's going on here? You can't act like it was no big deal. If it was no big deal, then why did you bring it up again and again and again and again? That's my issue with Draymond.
Because no one even cared about that anymore. That was so far in the past. And he's like, and Draymond Green's going to sit there on the podcast, I'm just going to say this for my own because I've been losing since you left. It's like, yeah, y'all could have did that over beers in the Olympics, okay? It wasn't need to put it on a podcast. Nobody cared anymore. Yes, it was your fault, and yes, people were gonna think it's your fault, but nobody was blaming you for it anymore, okay? You were in the clear. You were in the clear, man. The funny thing is that even though a lot of people said, "Oh, Draymond's mouth made that happen," a lot of people, and I've been, Kevin Durant would be in. You ever go to a Twitter space? A Twitter space like where it's a bunch of people in a room talking, and like some people,
I can't even figure out how to get my computer to turn on.
Okay, so I don't even know how to describe a Twitter space to you.
Just kidding.
But it's like but did Kevin Durant? I was in like at least two different Twitter spaces that Kevin Durant was in with people, mm-hmm, with Warriors fans, a lot of Warriors fans, and Kevin Durant gets way more heat for leaving than Draymond does for you know the. Essentially lighting the match, right? If you want to, mm-hmm, look at it that way, right? Draymond Green got way less flack, if he got any at all, for Kevin Durant did leaving than Kevin Durant did. Rightfully so, because Kevin Durant's the person that left. So I don't even get what he was trying to prove. Nobody cared anymore.
Ultimately, I believe that Draymond got mad at Durant because they all knew there was a very good chance he was going to leave. I don't believe Durant left because of what because Draymond got mad.
Exactly.
I think Draymond got mad because he had one foot out the door, and they all knew that. So be that as it may, this is something to keep an eye on, because Draymond also said, talking about the roster this year and the young guys, he said the challenge is on us as leaders to drag the young guys along, to try to show them the way, to get them up to speed as fast as we can. It'll be a bunch of trial and error for sure. End quote. Now, I'm hoping this isn't an issue, but I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle. You know, Draymond's not the type where if this is how he feels, and clearly he feels strongly about it, it's not like he's not going to bring it up again during the season. So this could become something of a situation for the Warriors, especially if they struggle. Maybe they could address it at the deadline, but clearly they wanted to get some veterans. Draymond and Steph and Clay, presumably, wanted them to be bringing in more veterans with some of the draft capital. They didn't do that, and Draymond's not happy now, and he's not going to be happy this season.
Yeah, Draymond's never happy, okay? He's a perpetually unhappy dude, man, you know? In the last couple of seasons in particular, he is who he is, man. But when you talk about having a bunch of young guys and a bunch of old guys and things of that nature, right? Let's go back and look at the key players from the 2015 team, right? So Andrew Bogut was a 10th season guy. Ian Clark was a second season guy. Steph Curry was in his sixth, but Draymond and Harrison Barnes were in their third, and Klay Thompson was in his fourth. And Wiseman's only in his second, and Kuminga's only in is a rookie, right? So I get that. Kevon Looney also was a rookie on the team. He was injured though. But then you had Iguodala, who was in his 11th season. You had Anderson Varejao, who didn't play a whole lot his 11th season. You had Livingston, who was in his 10th, and like I said, Bogut his 10th, Barbosa in his 12th. That's a pretty weird eclectic mix of your key people being guys who've been in the league a really, really long time and guys who've been in a few years. Your best player was in his prime. He was in his sixth year, right? But I don't. First things first, it can work. Second, why do you even feel the need to get out there and say anything about that?
Why? Well, I was waiting for this because he made it clear how he felt, and the Warriors didn't address his concerns at the draft. And I thought, huh, I wonder how Dre and Steph feel about that. And Steph has said a few things recently, like, hey, you gotta explore all these opportunities. But I was wondering if we were going to hear anything from Dre. So I'm not surprised that he came out and said, yeah, this historically won't work. Because he let everybody know this is what we need to do. And to your point, I understand what you're saying about that 2015 roster construction. But clearly he's talking, rightly or wrongly, about, you know, Wiseman last year, who was a rookie, and then Kuminga and, to a lesser extent, Moody this year. So Draymond wanted them to go out and get, not Durant, but another superstar with the draft capital they had. They didn't do that. So he says, nah, all right. Good luck.
But he just supposes that there was some superstar out there to be had. I mean, what makes you think they could even gotten Bradley Beal for all the draft picks? You know, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point. And perhaps part of his reasoning is, look, we still may have that opportunity. We still have to be thinking that way. I don't know, but I do know this: you should download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game to get breaking news updates as well as links to the top interviews and best moments on The Game, powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. All right, coming up, keeping an eye, of course, on the orange and black and the possible celebration today. We also have coming up, if Wiggins misses home games, who do the Warriors plug into his place? And also we have three reasons that Kyle's genius reputation hangs in the balance with the 49ers taking on the Seahawks tomorrow. That and more next with Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason. Thanks for being with us on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.